I got the Simpsons job the same way I got a wife. I was not the first choice, but I was available. I was working at It's Gary Shandling Show, the second lowest rated show on TV. The lowest rated was The Tracy Ullman Show, which featured short cartoons about these ugly little yellow people. The Shandling Show was going on summer break, and showrunner Alan Zweibel was launching a new show called The Boys, a sitcom set at the Friars Club. Man, I wanted that job, where I would have been writing jokes for Norm Crosby and Norman Fell, two of my favorite Normans. But Zweibel opted to hire my old friends Max Pross and Tom Gammel, so my writing partner, Al Jean, and I had to settle for the job they turned down, The Simpsons. Nobody wanted to work on The Simpsons. There hadn't been a cartoon in primetime since The Flintstones, a generation before. Worse yet, the show would be on the Fox Network, a new enterprise that no one was sure would even last. I took the job, but I didn't tell anyone what I was doing. After 8 years of writing for films, sitcoms, and even Johnny Carson, I was now working on a cartoon. I was 28 years old, and I thought I'd hit rock bottom. Still, I'd been a fan of Matt Groening and executive producer Sam Simon for years. They were having fun creating the show, and it was infectious. It was a summer job, and it felt like summer jobs I'd had in the past, selling housewares, filing death certificates. We knew we wouldn't be doing this forever, so no one took it too seriously. We didn't even have a real office at the time. The studio had so little faith in us, they housed us in a trailer. I assumed that if the show failed, they'd slowly back the trailer up to the Pacific and drown the writers like rats. Al Jean and I quickly churned out 3 of the first 8 episodes of the show. There's No Disgrace Like Home, which ends with the Simpsons electrocuting each other during family therapy. Moaning Lisa, in which a depressed Lisa meets jazz great Bleeding Gums Murphy. And The Telltale Head, where Bart saws the head off the Jebediah Springfield statue. This is also the episode in which Sideshow Bob, Reverend Lovejoy, Krusty the Clown, and bullies Jimbo Dolphin Kearney first appear. But the whole time I was writing, I groused, I'd rather be doing jokes for Norman Fell. Since so few writers wanted to work on the series, we wound up with a very eclectic writing staff. Except for Al and me, none of them had ever written a sitcom script before. They'd come from the world of sketches, late-night TV, even advertising. One day before the series premiered, I was sitting in the trailer with the other writers. After Matt Groening left the room, I asked the question that was on all of our minds. How long do you think this show will actually last? Every writer had the same answer. 6 weeks. 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks. Only Sam Simon was optimistic. I think it'll last 13 weeks, he said, but don't worry, no one will ever see it. It won't hurt your career. Maybe that's the secret of the show's success. Since we thought no one would be watching, we didn't make the kind of show we saw on TV. We made the kind of show we wanted to see on TV. It was unpredictable. One week we wrote a whodunit, and in another we parodied the French film Manon of the Spring. The only rule was one we made for ourselves. Don't be boring. The scenes were snappy and packed with jokes, in the dialogue, in the foreground, and in the background. When Homer went to a video arcade in episode 6, Al and I filled the place with funny games like Pack Rat, Escape from Grandma's House, and Robert Goulet Destroyer. And if you missed the joke the first time, no problem. Everyone in America was starting to get VCRs so they could tape the show and watch it again. Remember, this was 1988, and the number one TV series was The Cosby Show. It was a great show, but slow. Nothing ever happened on The Cosby Show. A lot happened right after The Cosby Show. It's no joke to say that the fastest-paced, most irreverent comedy on TV around this time was The Golden Girls, a show about 3 corpses and a mummy. I broke into sitcoms writing a script for The Golden Girls. Now I am one. Dan Castellaneta on The Simpsons Prospects. When I read the first script, I was blown away. I really thought it was well written. I didn't know whether or not the show would be successful, but if we only had 13 episodes, we would at least have a cult following. The scripts were that good.